Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR, wherever you may be tuned in across the good old U.S. of A on one of our 180...
We are at 183 now.
183 radio stations. That's why Walker's here, ladies and gentlemen. keep present abreast of how many stations we own here. Own and operate of American Family Radio stations, 183 stations. What do we sell one the last week?
We did.
Okay, we don't sell many. We buy some, but we're trying to reach as many people across the country as we can to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, and also to talk about the truth about what's happening in our country and in our world so that we can be salt and light, as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5. Ed Vitagliano is back. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Ray Pritchard is away, so you're filling in.
Yes.
For Ray. And made it into work.
I did. I understand that y'all hated on me while I was gone yesterday.
Y'all. I think we know who it was.
let me introduce the rest of the panel here. Walker Wildman's already been introduced, and Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Who made it in all 3 days?
Yes, who made it in, as did I.
Yes.
But so Ed, somebody said something disparaging about you.
Yes.
Huh. And I just don't have any recollection of that. Or to borrow from Hillary Clinton, what does it matter now?
What difference does it make?
What difference does it make now?
I got the J.J. Jasper treatment. You know, sometimes J.J. Jasper's gone for
on Tuesday,
Trivia Friday.
I had to leave 15 minutes into the show to go get my hair cut. Oh, I'm listening on my way to get my hair cut. And I'm
listening to the president?
Yes, listening to the president talk about me getting my hair cut.
And abandoning the crew.
Fred and I held it down on, day was that, Fred? Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred and I worked so hard the days run together. But for those who don't know.
I wonder where Walker was going. We're sitting here talking, doing the program.
Yeah,
he just leaves.
He left.
I thought it was something I said.
No, he was
get
a haircut.
Canadians can be hateful, Walker.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's pretty rough.
I can see where you'd
pretty rough.
Well,
crowd.
For those who don't know, we had an inch and a half of snow here,
And ice,
and two.
It's getting defensive already.
At an inch and a half of snow here in the Tupelo area, as did a lot of you across the South. And, of course, that sends Southerners into terror mode. And
you know, I have to say, we have 183 stations. Those stations north of Kentucky right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I say, Ed.
I know.
Inch and a half of snow.
Right.
And he
snowed in. Yeah, well,
here we go again.
It was rough.
I think it's time we moved on. I agree. We moved on.
Haters gonna hate. Yeah,
I'll just say, Ed, we're glad you're here today.
That's all.
Ed called
say.
Us out, and we circled back.
Yeah,
round two.
All right, nice haircut, Walker. By the way. All right, Walker, what are we doing on to promote ourselves here?
Yes, to promote ourselves, we are on Facebook. Today's Issues on Facebook. You can go to our page, watch the show each weekday, and comment, read the news stories that I'll link to there. And if you would like, you can just visit our website, afr.net, afr.net. There's a live stream link there where you can listen 24/7 on our website, or you can download the American Family Radio app on your smart device. But I want to plug one more division of our ministry here, and that is the AFA Foundation. The AFA Foundation hosts what are called Faith Family Finance Town Hall meetings each fall and spring. And those are meetings with our own Dan Celia of Financial Issues that you hear before today's issues. And these town halls are meant to answer your financial questions and kind of guide you through any concerns you have when it comes to finances. And all of the advice is given from a biblical perspective on how to handle
When is that?
How to handle your finances. So I say all that to say that in January, February, and March, they are having town halls across most of the South and one in Virginia. Here are the locations and the dates, and then I'll give you the website. Plano, Texas. Plano, Texas is late January. Little Rock, Arkansas is mid-February, February 15th in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Are you supposed to guess the day?
I said February 15th.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
February 15th, Little Rock, Arkansas.
I said late February.
The first time I said late January.
Okay, I guess I shouldn't be texting where you're
That's January 30th, to be exact. Fredericksburg, Virginia is the last one in the spring, and that is March 27th. So AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net. If you heard one of those and you're interested in going, AFAFoundation.net.
Let me see that sheet of paper there. And I apologize, Walker.
That's all right.
I was not paying attention. I just heard you say late January, and I thought, well, this, you know.
Yeah.
Supposed to pick a day that maybe we'll be there.
I'm trying to get people to go to the website to find out.
Ah,
more.
Duly noted. Well, I am going to be with
Dan Celia.
Dan. I'm going to be with Dan Celia at the Hope Center in Plano.
Is that in late January?
Yeah, sometime in late January. So just show up late January.
To late January.
Yeah, if I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not, check back. But go. That's January 30th. And then I'm going to be with Dan and company in
Little Rock,
February 15th. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to make me feel better about myself, come and join us there, all right, for our events in Plano, Texas, January 30th, Little Rock, Arkansas, February 15th.
Those are very popular, mm-hmm. those meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with or without me. Dan Celia is the man.
Yes, he's the man whom most people come to see. But I'm sure they will enjoy seeing you as well.
Okay. So go to AFAFoundation.net. You have to register. It's free, but you got to register. AFAFoundation.net. Or if you want to register via the phone, call 800-326-4543. Extension 345. I'll give that slow. Or slower. Or slowly.
More slowly.
Is that what it is? More slowly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1-800-326-4543. Extension 345. The easy way to remember that is 1-800-FAMILIES with an S. Extension 345. And as I say, the events are free. But you have to register to attend, and I will be offering my timeshare package. so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, I've got packages in Hawaii.
That's right. So they do come. They do get the big screen TV, but they have to listen to your presentation.
They have to listen to my timeshare proposal.
Just kidding, folks, on all of it. No TV.
No, no timeshare proposal.
Right.
Although one time, did I tell y'all? If I tell you this, act like you haven't heard it.
Okay.
But went to some friends of mine. Were in Cancun, Mexico, right? And it was a couple, and they went to they got a free 3 or 4 days at a nice hotel.
Nice.
But the condition was they had to go listen to the timeshare speak.
Right.
Right? They knew that. They knew what they were getting into. So the company comes and picks them up, right? And takes them from one hotel to another luxury hotel where all the people were gathered who were there in the same situation. They got a free trip, but they had to give them like 2 hours of your time to listen to your timeshare presentation. Well, they went through all that. And then the company did the hard sale.
Oh yeah.
You know, sit them down and
oh, come on, you can do this.
Yeah, you can do this. Tried to put the full court press on them, and the couple resisted.
Right.
You know, they resisted, and they said no. They were polite about it, said no, but it got to the end of the deal, and they said, well, you know, somebody going to take us back to our hotel? And they said, no.
What?
No, you're on your own.
They had to get back to the other hotel themselves?
Well, yeah, they didn't buy. They didn't buy anything.
So read the small print.
So what? I'd probably be on the sponsor. So they're the company's probably thinking, what do we got to lose?
Right.
Well, these people are going to get mad. They're already not buying anything. What do we care? I'm just guessing. But yeah. Anyway, he told me about that. He said, man, we did everything we could. And then got to the end of it, and they still said no. And they said, all right, thanks for coming.
Oh, my goodness.
One-way ticket.
So buyer beware, or right. Non-buyer beware, I mm-hmm. guess, in this case. All right, Fred, what's happening in the real world?
Well,
timeshare people put pressure on folks to buy stuff.
Big story mainstream media this morning. Headline, Trump insists his views on a border wall have not evolved. Now, that's because his White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, met yesterday with the Hispanic caucus, and they reported out of there that General Kelly was saying that, you know, that Trump has changed his mind on what he defines as the wall across our southern border. And, of course, it was picked up this morning, the mainstream media, basically not coming right out and saying this is a president that's really not stable in his mind. He changes his mind a lot, et cetera, et cetera. Well, all of that kind of reminded me, going back several years, to the former president, Barack Obama. Think back, it was around, I think, May 2012, when North Carolina became the 30th state to pass a constitutional amendment supporting traditional marriage. About that time, there was breaking news on ABC News because President Barack Obama, who told us through the years, the initial years, that he supported traditional marriage, marriage only between a man and a woman. Breaking news from the White House. Let's have a listen to how ABC News introduced this and then President Obama on his evolution of thinking on gay marriage.
This is an ABC News special report.
Good afternoon to all of you. I'm Diane Sawyer here at ABC News World Headquarters in New York with George Stephanopoulos because there is big breaking news from the White House. This is an historic political and cultural moment in this country, and the issue, gay marriage.
That's right. The White House facing a lot of questions this week in the wake of Vice President Biden saying he's comfortable with gay marriage. On Sunday, North Carolina becoming the 30th state yesterday to ban gay marriage.
I have to tell you, as I said, I've been going through an evolution on this issue. In addition to everything we've done in this administration, rolling back Don't Ask, Don't Tell, whether it's no longer defending the Defense Against Marriage Act, which tried to federalize what has historically been state law, I've stood on the side of broader equality for the LGBT community. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
So there you have it. ABC News was absolutely celebrating. Isn't it wonderful that the president has evolved on this? But today, President Trump, who actually denies that he has changed his position on a wall across the southern border, he is being denounced. This is bad. The president doesn't know what he's doing. But when it came to Barack Obama evolving on his thoughts about game, oh, this is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, well, not to revisit those years too much, but that was a lie right there. if I can be so
talking about President Obama's.
Yeah, that wasn't statement. Evolution. That's what he believed all along.
Right. That's what David Axelrod said in
his
book.
Right.
Yes, he believed in same-sex or homosexual, quote, marriage all along. But he didn't want to admit it because he thought it would hurt him politically, especially with the black community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was in his second term. Was it his second term where he finally came out, so to speak?
Yes, it was. It was after his reelection.
Yeah, there were no political consequences to pay. So it wasn't a big brave move by Barack Obama. But it was admitting what he already believed in the first place. It wasn't an evolution. And interesting, too, about that is, nobody ever asked him, President Obama, why did you object to homosexual marriage in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a very interesting question. Yeah. How would he have answered that, you think, Ed, maybe?
Well, I guess he would have probably said that his, folks, I'm just spitballing here. So
yeah.
Probably said that this, you know, his opposition to it was based in his religious, you know, beliefs about marriage.
Yeah.
But that, you know, as he evolved, he began to see, you know, and then you insert the, you know, gay theology of your choice, that, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about gay marriage, or maybe the Bible's wrong about gay marriage, or maybe the Bible shouldn't inform our public policy. So you take your pick of the usual kinds of arguments that people make.
Yeah. But to this point today, President Trump, what the situation is, Kelly, his chief of staff, said he was evolving on the
president.
The president was evolving on the border wall, right?
Yes.
And President Trump came back to say it today and said, no, I'm not.
No. He says, I've always felt this way. He's always, the president is saying this morning, tweeted out, I've always believed there's going to be areas of that southern border where we'll have a solid wall, but there are going to be other areas where we'll have something else to deter people from coming in.
I think everybody's always understood that. I think maybe Kelly and Trump, President Trump, aren't at odds as much as it sounds like they are. Maybe it was just a matter of wording.
Exactly.
I think John Kelly, is it John Kenner, General Kelly?
Yes, sir.
I think he was basically saying that the president is flexible in terms of exactly what kind of border we have and where we put it. That's what he was saying. And but I think the president wanted to come out and say before he started catching it from people like us, you know, or people on the right, say, hey, wait a minute. He wanted to keep that from happening. So he came out and said, no, I'm not, quote, evolving. I'm still steadfast on my pursuit of a border security wall.
Yeah, because the part of the issue has always been that the wall is meant to keep illegals from crossing into the country. So there are certain areas that form natural barriers, certain areas that are not used for crossing, but are, for example, used for ranchers to water their cattle.
Yeah.
And you don't want, you know, a wall there. There are certain areas where just a see-through barrier would be fine. And so that's what President Trump is saying, is that he always knew that you couldn't put a wall from sea to shining sea.
Yeah.
Right.
And but General Kelly did, you know, mention, and this is probably poorly worded on his part, that going from campaigning to governing are two different things, and what you say in campaigning may not always translate. Now, you can say, well, that's true about anything. Once you get in as president, you're getting information, you're getting intelligence, you're getting all those kinds of things that you did not have access to before.
Yeah. So, well, you're dealing with Congress, too.
You're dealing with Congress, so you may have to fine-tune. But I don't think President Trump has evolved like President Obama evolved, which is to completely do a 180 on a particular issue, and that's not what's happened.
Absolutely.
So to President Trump's credit, though, he did not, as a candidate, to my knowledge, he did not promise specifically a wall, like Ed said, from sea to shining sea, 2,000-plus miles. I don't even think he really got into specifics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he just said, he reiterated every time he was asked, we just need a wall.
Yes.
And so whether that be 2,000 miles or 1,000 miles, the point is we need a wall on some portions of the border, and he stuck to that.
Hey, talking about President Trump, by the way, is it tomorrow he's going to speak
March
live?
For life. March for Life.
Tomorrow's a March for Life.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And he's going to speak live from the Oval Office, I believe.
It's a video presentation. He won't be at the march, per se, but he is going to speak, yes.
Right. And he, as I understand it, he's the first sitting president to speak live to the national, for the National March for Life.
Yeah, President Bush recorded a speech when he was in office. Yes, this is going to be the first live speech to the crowds that will be gathered there.
I tell you what, President Trump, you got to give him big thumbs up for his commitment to the pro-life cause.
Absolutely.
He has not done anything to suggest that he was not truthful in his campaign promises to be pro-life with his administration and the things that he did have control over.
Mm-hmm. He's been unashamedly pro-life.
Yeah.
And hasn't played any games with the issue.
Right.
And is so for those who were in the evangelical community they were never Trumpers. You know, you got to say, all right, can you not at least applaud the man for his staunch support of the pro-life cause?
Absolutely.
At least do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, much talked about over the last couple of weeks, President Trump was going to announce his fake news awards. And he did that last night. The media has been waiting for this, and so the announcement was made. Let's hear a little bit from Ed Henry. He's a Fox News reporter, because a lot of the news agencies didn't even cover this story. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But Ed Henry over at Fox, we'll hear a little bit of his report on who the winners are of the first ever President Trump Fake News Awards.
Number three, CNN, in the words of the president, falsely reporting that candidate Donald Trump and his son Donald Trump Jr. had access to hacked documents from WikiLeaks before the public did. Number two, the president going after ABC News's Brian Ross. In the president's words, Brian Ross, quote, chokes and sends markets in a downward spiral with false report. Finally, number one, in the president's estimation, the New York Times' Paul Krugman, the columnist, claiming on the day of the president's historic landslide victory, in the president's words, the economy would never recover.
Oh, my goodness.
New York Times, number one, Paul Krugman. The economy will never recover. Keep in mind, folks, yesterday, the Dow Jones new record, 26,000. It closed over 26,000. So I think it was kind of fitting that the president would pick Paul Krugman, the man who said the economy was going to fall apart, as the number one fake news.
Well, and then Drudge, lead story, jobless claims lowest since 1973. That's astonishing. Yes. Well, Paul Krugman is just, some liberal media people, I go, all right, they're liberal, I just deal with it. Paul Krugman, Krugman or whatever his name is, he's just a hater. I mean, he really is. I mean, I've read several of his op-eds and or editorials, columns, whatever. He just hates Trump, and he hates conservatives. He hates Christians.
So he uses 700 words to say what he could say in three.
Yeah.
I hate Trump.
I hate Trump.
I hate Trump. Or maybe you could use six words. I hate Trump, end of column.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? And then write it again the next week.
Yeah.
They trump up these things that they have to keep coming up, these liberal Trump haters, as you say, reporters, the fake, only President Trump would do
fake news. Well, Paul Krugman could change his column the second week and say, instead of I hate Trump, he could say, Trump I hate.
Right. Clearly noted, Ed.
Hate Trump I do.
When the Democrats and the left, when their main...
You sound like Dr. Seuss.
I was going to do the Yoda, Trump I hate. But,
Go ahead.
Their main goal is to play on emotions. That's why they use hyped up language, inflammatory language, get everybody upset, get everybody mad, and they do racism as a problem and stuff. But if you do that all the time, that's your only strategy, then it has to get worse. It has to be worse.
True.
So they go from what we're talking about here to now, the other day, the doctor on CNN said Trump's going to have a heart attack. In 3 to 5 years, Trump's going to have a heart attack. And so, but they're ramping up the rhetoric, and you get up to where you're sounding crazy.
Is that what he said, 3 to 5 years? Well, that's a bold prediction, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got heart disease.
That's what he said.
Probably 10% of, 10 to 20%, I'm just guessing, of men in their 70s have some sort of heart condition.
So because he says he's got heart disease?
Yes.
No, the doctor, Dr. Jackson, who examined the president, 4 hours last Friday, said he's in excellent shape. They did the cardiograms.
Yeah.
Everything is wonderful. But Dr. Gupta happened to be there for CNN in the room. He is determined, even though he didn't examine the president, that the president has heart disease.
So the market's going to crash and the president's going to have a heart attack.
Right.
Wow.
And then others say
he's mentally ill.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Well, if President Trump doesn't have a heart attack, he can use this as fake news.
Yes, he can.
That's right.
Can he?
I nominate.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
Ta-dum, 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 ta-dum.
But listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. If there is no wall, there is no deal. That's the promise from President Trump taking to Twitter to affirm his support for a wall between the United States and Mexico. It was a necessary move as the Republican-controlled Congress starts to wobble. There are reports House Speaker Paul Ryan is working in the shadows to push amnesty, disguised as a comprehensive immigration reform plan. Meanwhile, a government shutdown looms. Democrats are vowing to shut down the federal government if Republicans do not agree to protect the so-called Dreamers. And the Republicans are worried the mainstream media will blame them for the government shutdown, which is true. That's exactly what's going to happen. All the more reason for the Republican Party to man up and do what we, the people, sent them to Washington to do in the first place. Build a wall and secure the border. It's a shovel-ready project. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. We thank you for listening to our program and for tuning in to American Family Radio. Walker's got us live video streaming on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Did you say it was messing up a little bit?
Yeah, we're having some sound issues on our Facebook page on the live stream. Kind of some static.
Why is that?
Well, that's a good
question.
Probably
because of all the snow we had.
Got to be the snow and ice.
Recently. It was a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. You fellows, get an inch and a
inch and a half will do that.
An inch and a half of snow.
Yeah, we're having some sound. You can hear the broadcast. It's just not as clear. But I'm going to have our smarter or betterer, if you listen to Trivia Friday, engineers look at it and have it fixed soon.
All right. Again, one of the lead news stories today is that jobless claims are the lowest since 1973. Stock market soaring to outer space. It'll come down. It'll have to come down sometime, but right now it just keeps going up, just driving the Democrats nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Liberal news media just doesn't know how to report that.
Don't want to report it.
Well, I think they were going to report it after 8 years of Obama policies. Finally.
Yeah. The credit finally, President Obama.
Finally, the results are kicking in. That's how they're going to spend this one.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned before here, the unemployment rate for African Americans and for Hispanics,
lower than it's been in years.
The bottom line is African Americans and Hispanics are finding jobs. that they didn't find under the Obama administration because of the deregulation that's going on with the Trump administration and the tax reform package that passed.
Yeah, not to mention the latest evidence of the impact of the tax reform, Apple announcing yesterday.
Wow.
It's going to spend, what, $350 billion creating a new campus, 20,000 jobs, and about $240 billion that they had parked offshore because of the taxes under the Obama administration against businesses. That's
right.
All changed because of tax reform. They're going to bring $240 billion of that home.
Yeah, which is what Dan Celia, among others, had predicted that a lot of economists had predicted that, you know, if we did have a tax reform package that dropped the corporate rate as substantially, that you would see, and the deregulation that's going on, you know, freeing businesses, that trillions of dollars that is, quote, parked offshore would flood back into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's happening. Case in point, Apple,
mm-hmm.
as you mentioned there.
This article from Bloomberg, this is the lead story, as I mentioned, on Drudge. If you click on it, it is an article from Bloomberg News. But it says the drop in claims shows that companies are increasingly holding on to their employees amid a shortage of skilled labor. Businesses are struggling to find workers to fill positions, particularly in manufacturing and construction.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading yesterday that when we're talking about deregulation, that President Trump's goal going into office was for every one new regulation, two would need to be repealed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I read yesterday where the rate has been 1 to 20, the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So for every new regulation, President Trump has withdrawn 20 regulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things aren't you know, exciting to talk about, and they're out of the news because they're not dealt with in Congress necessarily. But you take the EPA, for example, other federal agencies that have regulatory responsibilities. You hear stories after story after story about, you know, how it strangles business. And that's what President Trump and his administration are going about getting rid of, or changing, or solving. Not that we're going to have, you know, people dumping trash in rivers because of this. I mean, we're still going to maintain sensible environmental policies that we all support and want. But it's this these crazy things that he's getting rid of. Things you read about and you go, how does that happen? You know, and so
let's remind people one thing too. When President Obama came in, he dumped billions of taxpayers' dollars to save the auto industry. That was taxpayers' dollars. These are corporations spending their money.
Yeah.
Spending their money. That's the huge difference.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And as always, we thank you for listening to this program and to American Family Radio. Well, on Saturdays and Sundays, we have Understanding the Times, a radio program hosted by Jan Markell, who is the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries, based out of the Twin Cities. And she joins us now, as she does most Thursdays. Fred, you want to say hello to Jan?
Oh, Jan, good to have you aboard again.
Thank you, Fred, and Tim, thank you.
Hey, listen, are you locked in your house for days and days when you have an inch and a half of snow up there in Minnesota?
We
brush that off. I mean, it's inconsequential.
Yes.
Honestly, it is. You guys, again, I said it last week, you're wimps.
See, she doesn't even hold back at all. Just, huh? Let me try to. Go ahead.
You got to be hale and hearty to live up here, like Alaska.
It's like Alaska, and you are. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, yeah. I wonder if you saw
the
results.
Reason they call their team the Vikings, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Jan, I'm not sure if you saw this. There's a new Gallup poll out. They polled Israelis. President Trump has a 67% approval rating in Israel.
And, you know, that's startling from at least one perspective, and that is Israelis are heavily left of center. I mean, it's kind of a socialist state over there, and I don't mean socialist in kind of an evil way. You got Venezuela that's socialist, and we know what that's all about, but Israel was founded on socialism, and it's just a lot of kind of spread the wealth around over there. So when we hear things like you just stated, I find that really intriguing that basically you're a pretty far left liberal, typical citizen in Israel is pro-Donald Trump. And but again, just look at some of the things that he's done on behalf of Israel. And as one of my radio guests, who's got an insider, said on a week or two ago, Israel probably is going to make a strike on Iran sometime in 2018, and that will be totally backed by Donald Trump, probably partially financed by America. So this is why Israelis are beginning to swing a little more to the center. At least at least tread the number you cited here, the percentage you cited.
President Trump's administration also slashed the money they give to the Palestinians.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
He didn't cut it off altogether.
No.
He threatened to do, but he did cut it in half, didn't he, Jan?
Yeah, I had the figure like this morning. It escapes me. It's not the full figure. I believe the full amount could be up to $500 million. That's our taxpayer dollars that goes to a bunch of terrorists, and it's been slashed at least by a third, but I don't have the figure in front of me.
Yeah, and the reason he did that, of course, was the reaction of the Palestinian leader Abbas and others, when the president announced that the U.S. was recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. They, you know, really, it's like these folks need a reason to get upset. I mean, it's
right.
I was reading last night a gentleman who's. It was a comment after one of the stories I was reading about the recognition of Jerusalem by the Trump administration. And this fellow was saying, you know, let's see, what was he saying? Like in Qatar or somewhere like that. He was saying where there's no border situation with Israel or anything like that. They just hate Jews. And
right.
Many in the Muslim world, sad to say, they just hate Jews because they're Jews. And they hate Americans because we stand with Israel.
Right.
So you don't have to give them a reason. Go ahead, Jan.
Well, little Satan and big Satan. Of course, that emanates out of Iran, but I think that emanates, I believe that spreads its cancer all the way through the Islamic world, literally around the world. And it's something to be concerned about. Again, our administration, previous administration, allowed Iran to have billions and billions of dollars, and some of that, again, was our tax money. And what are they using? They're using it for terror. They're using it to figure out ways to obliterate Israel and America. That's the insanity of the previous administration, doing things like that, which stretch credulity, and you almost have to conclude that some in America, and I'm not going to just peg a particular political party, but They've been given over to a reprobate mind. That's Romans 1. When you make such idiotic decisions as to finance the world's sponsor of terrorism, Iran.
Yeah, you know, for the life of me, I understand the spiritual dynamics of what's going on here with respect to Israel and the hatred, the undue, I think, and unjust hatred that they receive. It's basically anti-Semitism is basically what it is.
Right.
But the idea that you would get all appalled and enraged because the Trump administration says we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel, well, it already is. I go to Israel every year. Guess what? The Knesset, which is the equivalent of our Congress, our capital, is right there in Jerusalem. The prime minister's office is right there in Jerusalem.
Right.
Their government operates out of Jerusalem, and so, you know, I don't. Do you? So for the U.S. to put our embassy there, you know,
Jan. And it looks like it's going to happen in 2018, sometime this year, which is ahead of schedule because they were saying 3 years, and now Netanyahu is saying it's going to happen in 2018.
Well,
we'll see. I hope he's right.
What they're saying, by getting outraged about the Trump administration acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is that those who get outraged, to me, are saying we don't acknowledge Israel as a legitimate country and we never will. That's what they're saying.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. Or you have European countries who get all upset about it and vote, you know, this resolution or that, condemning the United States because they're afraid of their growing Muslim populations. Mm-hmm. That is
exactly right. Yep, that's very, very true. And I'm watching Emmanuel Macron from France. he's climbing to power in Europe. He wants to be Europe's individual single leader. Now, I don't think that's going to happen any time in the near future, but his goal is to become Europe's leader, single leader. And we need to keep that in mind when it comes to eschatological issues, too. I believe the Antichrist will come out of Europe, not saying it, Emmanuel Macron is that position, but could be, but it's just interesting to watch.
Yeah. Jan, your program airs on AFR on Saturdays and Sundays. Tell us about it and who you got coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central, Sunday at noon Central. We're going to be talking for the next 2 weeks about this artificial intelligence and how could it be, is it referred to in the Bible, particularly in Revelation? We hear a lot about electronic money and things like that. So we're going to talk about, gentlemen, it is overwhelming what artificial intelligence can do. We'll play clips of robots that can have intelligent conversations with you. It is stunning, truly stunning, for the next 2 weekends.
Are you saying they can take over for radio talk show hosts?
Yes, yes, they can take over. They can take your jobs, yep.
Wow.
On that cheery note.
Well, I just know a lot of people are mockingly saying, finally, we would have some intelligent conversation.
I know.
And we hear you people. We know how you're thinking.
Well, I'd like to see them come in when there's snow and ice on the ground.
they would be challenged.
Duly noted.
I think technicians will figure that out.
All right. Jan, what's your website?
OliveTreeViews.org.
OliveTreeViews.org. Jan Markell. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, guys. Goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Jan Markell. Her show airs Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central Time and Sundays at noon Central Time. I think that's, I've got the hours right on that. All right. Well, our next guest is also with us on Thursdays, most Thursdays. You're familiar with Alex McFarland, who's heard each afternoon at 3:05 Central Time on the program Exploring the Word with Brother Bert Harper here on American Family Radio, and also Wesley Wildman, Walker's oldest brother, only brother, joins him sometimes to discuss the Bible. And Alex joins us now. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you.
Hey, Alex, we were talking about the Jews and Israel. Of course, there are people other than Jews that are citizens of Israel. There are Christians and there are Muslims. I think 20% of the citizenry of Israel is Muslim, most of them Arabs. But is anti-Semitism, that is the hatred for Jews, Alex, how long has that been going on and why?
Great question. I think it's been going on since Old Testament times, and it's probably something that even many modern Jewish people don't even fully put their mind around, but the Bible says that Israel brought forth the Messiah. There was a woman that delivered a man-child. The woman was Israel. The man-child was the Savior. Anti-Semitism goes back all the way to, like, Haman in the book of Esther. Haman was the Adolf Hitler of the Old Testament. And Satan hates the nation of Israel because Satan's defeat is at the hands of Jesus Christ, who was born from the Jewish nation. And that's why Satan, throughout history, has worked through willing and unwilling operatives to oppress and harm the precious Jewish people.
Mm. And it seems like the U.S. has, the U.S. and maybe Great Britain, I don't know, maybe Australia, I'm trying to think, that have basically been allies of Israel since its inception in 1948, was it?
May 1948.
We're basically been the lone defenders. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, you know, then President Harry Truman recognized the State of Israel within 24 hours of their reconstitution. And I think there have been a lot of reasons that we've been an ally with the Nation of Israel. It's our longest ally. It's the only stable democracy in the Middle East. It's a government that is based on the Judeo-Christian Ten Commandments, you know, objective moral truth like we are. But I think the great reason that we have had a friendship with Israel has been because of the Christian quotient in America. We've had leaders like Truman and Eisenhower and Ronald Reagan, and now I believe President Trump, that actually do realize that we've got the same spiritual foundation, which is the God of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and the Law of Moses. And so when there have been people like President Obama, who in 2012 said, basically in a speech in the Middle East, President Obama then said, if you all care about peace, you need to go back to your pre-1967 borders, which was a horrible thing to say.
He was lecturing Israel.
Yeah, he was basically lecturing Israel. And I remember Netanyahu in the press said, thank you, but no thanks, you know. And I think it reflected not only an ignorance of U.S.-Israeli democracy, I think it probably reflected a gross ignorance of what went down in 1967, because it was a miracle, really. But, you know, we've had a great friendship with Israel. And I'm going to say this, and I realize some listening might scoff at this. I think the blessing of God, or the withholding of blessing, is at least in some way contingent on our treatment of the Nation of Israel.
Amen. I agree. Hey, listen, you're a Bible scholar. It's Fred here, Alex.
Hi.
You're a Bible scholar, I know. I want to run by you a comment made by the Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas yesterday in a speech. He claimed Palestinians are descendants of the what he called Arab Canaanites who built Jerusalem 5,000 years ago. Now, that's what he said in this speech yesterday. And further, he goes on to say, this land was conquered in 1967, and all the present generations know it. Therefore, why does Israel not withdraw from it? And why does U.S. President Donald Trump say that it is the United Capital of Israel? We will never agree to these things, and we do not want to use expressions that are harsher than this. A couple of things. We need to remind people the Canaanites were pagans.
Mm-hmm.
They're pagans. But he calls them Arab Canaanites, and he says they are the ones that built Jerusalem 5,000 years ago. Now, that's what he said in a speech yesterday.
Well, you know, that's either ignorance of history or an attempt at revising history. You know, really, in 1000 BC, when King David took, you know, what became Jerusalem, Jerusalem became known as the City of David and the capital of Israel. But there have been Jewish people in what is now known as the Nation of Israel at least since 3000 BC. And while, you know, everybody is either a descendant of Isaac or Ishmael, all the people over there, you're right, the Canaanites were pagans. The Bible talks about, quote, the people of the land that were descendants who were pagans and who fought the Jewish people as they went into the land. And, you know, that's why God opposed them, because God was bringing forth a Savior from out of the nation that he was raising up, the Nation of Israel. And you remember in Genesis 12, God said regarding Abraham and his descendants, I will bless them that bless thee and curse those that curse you. And, you know, whether it's Gentile nations or whether it's Arabs and Muslims that are anti-Semitic, fighting the Nation of Israel is a fool's errand, really, because God has made covenant promises regarding the land and the people, and those promises are intractable, honestly.
Hey, Alex, you got a conference coming up you want to talk about. Go ahead.
God bless you, Tim. Thank you. Truth for a New Generation, folks. It's awesome. It's an Apologetics Christian Worldview Conference, March 23-24, Greensboro, North Carolina. Josh McDowell, Todd Starnes, Lauren Green, Abe Hamilton III, J. Warner Wallace, on and on I could go. It's a conference. Our theme is Save a Nation. It's truth, the gospel, and revival in our times. I hope everybody listening will come. Go to the website, truthforanewgeneration.com.
Truthforanewgeneration.com. How many conferences have you hosted now?
This is going to be number 40. And I haven't done my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, in 15 years. But this will actually be the 40th conference like this we've done. And it's going to be great. We just, and I want to say, you know, over the last four that we've done, I mean, we've had Bert speak. We've had, Tim, you've spoken for mm-hmm. us. We've had Abe Hamilton, who mm-hmm. generally always gets a standing ovation. He's phenomenal. Yeah. But folks, this is a conference that will, it will put a fire in your heart for revival in America. And, you know, we're just out there trying to win the lost and equip the saved.
40th, that's...
How old are you?
Yeah.
Well, you've had... The odometer just keeps turning on 53.
So you've had more than one a year, in other words, right? You haven't been doing these since you were 13, is what I'm saying.
I actually been doing them since 91.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, thanks so much. What are you and Bert going to be talking about this afternoon?
Well, we're in Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah 31, which basically says that, hey, don't make a league with Egypt or make an alliance with them. Put your trust in God, and the Egyptian gods are only stone and flesh.
Okay, so probably the only radio network in America that has a live Bible study on the air each day, and we do that here at American Family Radio, and Alex and Bert and Wesley and Jim, when he joins them, they do an outstanding job, I think, of studying the Word of God and helping you understand it. And Alex, thanks so much. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, he invited me once to speak. I went. I never got invited back.
He's never invited me.
I didn't really want to bring that up, you know, on the radio and everything. But I just
don't want to embarrass him.
No, I just always want. I don't think he's embarrassed.
Well, even if he invited me, I probably couldn't.
Oh, you haven't been invited at all?
I've never been invited.
Yeah. At all, to speak. Huh.
But now, if the standard is you got to get a standing ovation,
right?
Well,
that's
then
what he says,
see,
Abe. He said
I can
Abe.
See why I haven't been invited.
Yeah, I don't think I got one either. He wants. So
I probably couldn't make it anyway. If there's
that's
any
why Abe's
snow
invited.
On the ground, you know,
Abe brings it, and they give him a standing ovation.
I will admit, Abe is a rock star.
Yeah, he is. We're just.
Bored. I'm a roadie. You know, like I help bring in the speakers and the equipment.
If it doesn't snow.
It doesn't snow. Boy, case, you are such a hater, man. Such a hater.
In which case, Ed will be at the hotel sipping coffee.
That's right. I wish I could come, Alex. But
it's already snowed a quarter of an inch out here.
I do want to say for those who are listening, okay, since I've been hated on, it wasn't just snow. It was ice. Okay. And Fred is not out in the county. He lives just down the street in a very nice
neighborhood.
Nice neighborhood.
Ed might not come back.
Yeah. That's right.
Ed might not come back.
I'm going here next hour. I'm going to get my hair cut and I'm not coming back.
Ed got his little feeding tour.
I don't care. Y'all go ahead and hate on me.
I'm going to take up my laptop and walk.
I'm eating pasta for lunch. It's a good day.
In all fairness to Ed, he did have ice to deal with on his country roads.
Take me home. Country roads, take me home. Because I'm not coming back.
John Denver sang about Ed lives there. And so there you go. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're going to take a break for news. And then Steve Jordahl will come and give us the latest. Fred, thank you for your contribution.
Always good to be here.
Yes, thank you for your comments, Fred.
All right, there you. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Hope we don't slip and slide to the popcorn machine. Look out, Ed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.